Hello, everyone. I'm very excited to welcome everyone to our new show On Beat. We're going to be talking to different beat reporters and reporters around the NFL throughout the year. My name is Stephanie, and I'm very excited because this is my first show, and it is my pleasure to have Olivia Reynard. Did I say it right?
You're close. Reynard, yes.
Okay, I'll give you credit. Thank you. My last name is just as bad, so it's very hard to pronounce. But she covers the Packers, which is super exciting. Thanks for coming. Very excited to talk to you.
My pleasure to be here.
So it's very exciting for me because for those of you that don't know me, I'm a medical student. Football is totally my passion and my hobby. But this is my first episode with Beat, and I'm excited to have to interview a female because this could be a little bit of a boys club. I'm learning.
Oh yes. Don't I know
it's
that?
Quite a boys. I bet. I can't even imagine. It's like I realize it, and I have barely a Twitter presence. So
absolutely,
a lot of testosterone.
It's awesome to talk to another woman. I'm excited to chat with you.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's like halfway through the season already. I can't believe it. At one point, we thought we weren't even going to have a season.
Yeah, no. To the NFL's credit, I am also surprised that we have made it this far. I was not anticipating it. However, I'm happy that we've made it this far, happy that I'm working, have games to cover, have athletes to talk to, and for the most part, players are healthy. There's a couple players right now on COVID-19 reserve on the Packers. However, besides that, things have been pretty solid so far.
Right. And they just activated Lazard, I think, like right before I got on here, I got the notification. That's so exciting.
Yeah, they're getting a little bit healthier. They've had a little bit of a rough spell with injuries this season. I think wide receiver Devontae Adams was out for a couple games. Then
Aaron Jones was
out for a couple games with a calf injury. And Lazard has been on IR for good chunk of the season. He had core muscle surgery several weeks ago, and now he's finally healthy enough to get back going, which is crazy thinking about the fact that he got his core just sewn back together and now he's ready to play football again.
So I know, it's crazy. These surgeries, they bounce back so quick. But so how's it going with COVID? Like now that you're in the midst of it, I was able to listen to the episode the last time that you were on here, which was only a little bit of it, but it's cool because at that point, you were like preseason, and now we're really getting it's such a weird NFL season.
It has been weird. It's changed a little bit since I first, or I suppose I was last on this show. So before I was in the tier three category of media, I believe, which meant that I was kind of like, I was able to go to practice, but I wasn't able to go inside of Lambeau or the practice facility or anything. Now I'm in tier two. So I've moved up a little bit in the world. Two of my colleagues were...
That's awesome. Cool.
We have two... From our outlet, we were able to like credential two of us. I work with four other people. So two of us were able to be tier two, which means that we can go into the facility and we're not really around players, but we have a little bit more access to the building. And so now I'm in that. I swapped with one of my colleagues. So now being part of tier two, I get to get COVID tested every single day, which is really in some ways and always 100% of ways it is very much a privilege because I can't think of many people in this world, in this country, that are able to get COVID tested every single day and
That's
have that
so
peace
awesome.
Of mind, which is great. But then I also have to like structure my life and my day-to-day around, okay, I have to get my COVID test at this hour of the day, which really is not that big of a deal. So
it's also not that comfortable of a test.
Well, believe it or not, that's what I was anticipating going into this. However, these COVID tests in particular, they just kind of go around like the, this is a great visual. I'm glad we have video.
It's good. know, <right? laughs>
if you're not watching, maybe you should be instead of just listening, but it just kind of goes around like the very shallow interior of your nostril on both sides. So I'm not, it's not like poking my brain or anything. It's super doable.
It's a little bit more comfortable than expected, which is positive.
Exactly. So yeah, I've been able to go to every practice, whether it's indoors or outdoors. Only if you're being, if you're part of this tier two, you're allowed to go to practice indoors. If you're not, you're not allowed to go inside. So that's great. And that's really about it. Practice has been fine.
Yeah. So cool. How did you get, so let's go back. I got all excited because it's my first show. I didn't even know, where can we find you? How did you get involved in the Packers? How's it like, just how did you start into this? It's so cool.
So I did not grow up a Packers fan. I was, I'm not from Wisconsin. I grew up outside of Philadelphia, about half an hour out north of downtown Philadelphia. And I was a big sports fan, I think, as most, I don't know, kids. I played sports growing up. I'm a big hockey fan. I played basketball and I played water polo growing up. I rode crew.
Oh, awesome.
Played a lot of different sports. And I went to Northwestern University for journalism. And I decided at some point that I wanted to cover sports. I really enjoyed playing sports growing up. And I enjoyed telling stories about athletes and kind of how sports fit into our society and intersect in different aspects of our culture. So that was what I was really passionate about in school. And so I covered sports at Northwestern, not just football, a little bit of everything, and covered a bunch of different stories. And then I eventually graduated, got my master's at Northwestern as well, and then I applied to jobs coming out of school, and there was an opening for a multimedia sports reporter with the Green Bay Press Gazette covering the Green Bay Packers.
That's so cool.
I knew just about nothing about Green Bay and especially the Packers. I really didn't know much about the Packers, and to be fair, I probably didn't know that much about the NFL coming into this job either. But I had the skill set and the ability to learn, and here we are two years later. So I started working with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about 6 months so into my time with the Press Gazette. They switched me over so I could also do some coverage of the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brewers. So it's been a really fun ride. I've learned
That's
a lot
awesome.
Along the way. Yeah, it's been great.
That's so cool. You're probably learning like as you go, and then it must get more comfortable every like month, every week, because it's like you're being able to recall. And I mean, I noticed that with myself with school. It's like the farther that you get into it, it's like becomes more comfortable. That's
definitely
awesome.
Absolutely.
Very cool. So I am a Giants, I'm a diehard Giants fan. But it's funny, I actually have a soft spot for the Packers. I have a tendency to date Packers fans. So I have always been watching the Packers because that is what's on my plate. And I have to say, so we got Blake Martinez this year, who has been phenomenal for us, like absolutely fantastic. But that's he's my Packers love a little bit. I watched him on the Packers and then he came to the Giants, which is very cool.
Yes, he's great on the Packers too. I think he was just going to be too expensive and they let him go and walk in free agency, test the waters. And the Giants also signed Kyler Fackrell too, who's an outside linebacker in the Packers defense. And he seems to be doing pretty well too. I see his name floating around on Twitter.
He's doing great. His snap count goes a little bit up and down, but he's doing awesome. He's for sure doing awesome. But so with this season, what was like surprised you the most, or what was like something that you anticipated to happen and then didn't, or really anything about the season that has gone to be not as planned?
The fact that we're even here is a surprise. I suppose we already talked about that, so I don't know if that counts.
Right.
The fact that we've made it this far is certainly a pleasant surprise. I hope that we continue going forward and players continue to stay healthy and all of that, even though there are a couple of players right now on the COVID-19 reserve list for the Packers, but hopefully they're on the other side of it at this point. I'm kind of surprised at how slow the Packers defense has come out of the gate, even though I suppose we are far out of the gate at this point. We're halfway through the season. They started out pretty slow. They had a really strong start to the season last year in 2019. And and the offense, it was the first year under head coach Matt LaFleur last season, understandably came out a little bit slower. And it took some time for things to start clicking. I don't really know if they got there the entire season last year, and they seem to be much farther or a lot farther along right now.
Yeah.
The third offense in the league. The defense just hasn't seemed to match that, which has been
surprising. Yeah, it's crazy because I was like thinking of questions and kind of like just some general things that I like wanted to talk about with the Packers. And one of my things was like, oh, what do you think the offensive weaknesses are? But then I started thinking right before we started, I'm like, but the defense has been a little slow to get started over there, which is surprising because they're usually a powerhouse. I mean, in years past, they have been very just definitely above average defense is normal. So this, I feel like this year there maybe, do you know, like, in your opinion, do you know where that maybe is coming from?
A lot of different places. I think it starts, man, I don't know if it starts or ends anywhere, but the pass rush just isn't as good as it was last season. Mm-hmm. Outside linebackers, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, Za'Darius Smith, I think has been the most solid of all three of them. However, last season, Preston and Za'Darius Smith were a powerhouse at getting after the quarterback. And this season, it just hasn't been the same, especially from Preston Smith, who has a sack and a half through 10 games now this season. Rashawn Gary had probably the best game of his career, let alone just this season, this past weekend against the Jaguars. A big big sack for him on the Jags' final drive of the game to really seal the deal for the Packers. They were able to put together a couple of big sacks, one from Rashawn Gary and from Preston Smith. That finally, the defense had a game-saving stop, which they haven't had all season. So it's the pass rush. It's the run defense, too. The run defense, they've been giving up a lot of yards, some big games from the Saints running back Alvin Kamara and Vikings running back Dalvin Cook has put up some big yards on them. And even just this past weekend too, the Jaguars running back James Robinson, who is a very good running back, you know, even though that offense is pretty brutal, he's been very good, and the defense still let him run, you know, over 100 yards on him.
Right.
But besides, you think of all that, they haven't had the same number of turnovers this year as they did last year. All those things combined, they're still like the 15th ranked defense in the league, which isn't terrible. It's like on paper, it's not terrible, but the defense just hasn't been as good as it was last season.
Right.
And it's nowhere near playing up to the speed of this offense too. So it's just a down year for defenses in the NFL. It's certainly
and
possible.
And it's also, I talk about this a lot now. You also have, take it for a grain of salt too, this is a weird year. This is not a normal season. Teams are without players. And I think something that I've seen, like, not even just with the Giants across the board, is that people are kind of struggling to play like complementary football. But I don't know that it's always because of the roster. It's because of who's not on the roster that week. I know like the Packers on offense, Aaron Jones, we talked about a little bit before, but they'll have a little bit of a gap, and then the Scanting will have a great game, but then not have a good game. Or Tanyan, by the way, the tight end, did fabulous. We didn't really hear too much, and then he'll peep in. So I think it's just doing this complementary football, but I think we're also seeing that across the board. I mean, besides for the Steelers, a lot of these teams are really not full, right? It's the only complete team in the NFL at this point. So I think it has to, it's more of this year is just weird. It's weird. It's a COVID year.
It is a weird year. The Packers are finally getting healthy. They were down a bunch of different players. Some really key, like 14 starters were out at some point during this season. Davante Adams, we talked about. Aaron Jones, we talked about. Defensive lineman Kenny Clark missed a few games with a groin injury.
He's
finally been back now for about four or five games. And he's also just, he's getting double teamed a lot too. So his production has been down, and maybe he hasn't been able to put as much pressure on the quarterback as he wants to, but he was out. Cornerbacks Jaire Alexander and Kevin King have been out. Alexander just has missed now a game and a half with a concussion. King has missed the last five games with a quad injury, and that's huge for him and his contract year. He's playing for his future right now with the Packers.
Yeah.
And it's not looking so good for him.
It stinks because across the league, I think you're seeing that also is like a lot of people are on these contract years, but then there's all these other factors that are kind of playing in. So I think this season and next season will be very interesting to see how everyone actually plays out. Speaking of contract, actually, they signed a quarterback in the draft. Do you think that I think Aaron Rodgers, the second they did that, I knew that this guy was going to come out with a chip on his shoulder. It's Aaron Rodgers. I knew that was going to lay the little gas under his butt.
He would never admit that it did. He has never said that. I don't think he ever will. I mean, right. Maybe he will at some point. So yes, right. The Packers drafted Jordan Love in the first round of the NFL draft, which certainly in the Packers world raised a lot of eyebrows, understandably. Right. So you have your franchise right. quarterback sitting there who has four more years left on his contract and has said that he wants to play that out in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it certainly raises eyebrows. However, at the end of the day, like, I don't know. I've only been covering this team for 2 years now. So right. I don't right. have like the foundational Brett Favre versus Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Like, so that's part thing. Of it too. They're kind of that franchise also. So when that happens, like, are we actually surprised or are we really surprised? Because normally they like to have someone take over like after and to learn under someone, which is kind of what happened with Aaron Rodgers and Brett.
Right, right. Yeah, in 2005, their relationship was not so great. Rodgers sat for a few seasons before Favre was out, which doesn't really happen very often, you know, in the league these days. However, that's what happened at the time. And I think, yeah, their relationship at the time was not so good. So I think it led to some speculation that perhaps Aaron would treat Jordan Love the same way. I don't know what happens behind closed doors. I'm not going to pretend I know Aaron Rodgers better than anybody else. However, you know, it seems fine. Rodgers is playing very well.
I mean, obviously, I've never met Aaron Rodgers, although I would absolutely love to. But he is someone that I think is, and I think this has led to his success in the league, is that he's able to keep a poker face. He's someone that focuses on the game. It's the game only, and he just keeps it that way, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he's a professional. How he treats his teammates is going to have an impact on how that team operates. If he treats people poorly, you know, regardless of what he thinks of them, that's going to seep into the rest of the team and the culture. It's just going to be brutal. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine he knows better than to let something like that get in the way.
So do you pick up on that culture when you get this closer contact than most people get? Do you notice? Because I think something you can kind of tell between franchises, there's certain ones that are pretty tight knit. And I would say that the way that the Packers players interact with one another, I mean, on social media, you can even see on the sidelines, they're giving each other a hug. They're very supportive. Do you pick up on that can you tell that they're very passionate about being a team?
Yes, I'll say yes, but I'll also add that winning makes everything better and everyone happier. Mm-hmm. So I've been around this team. So this is my third season. It's my second full season. The first season was under head coach Mike McCarthy, who's now down with the Cowboys. He was fired midseason. That was in the beginning. That was all I knew. And everyone was just kind of miserable, or not miserable might be a strong word, but everyone wasn't super happy around the locker room because the team was losing. They weren't a very good team. Which is frustrating. So that was all I knew. And I was like, okay, this is just how teams are. But then they started winning under LaFleur last season, and they're still doing very well under LaFleur this season, and everyone's happy. So things are happy. Things are light. But yeah, all it takes is one game for all that to seem to go away. They got handed a really tough loss by the Buccaneers, by the Vikings this season. Yeah. And that week, it's a down week. They're not as happy. So I think generally speaking, certainly being around the team when you're physically in the locker room, it is easier to see the dynamics between players in the locker room.
Right.
So we don't really have that this season, but I mean, they seem happy because they're winning. That's what winning does.
Right. Yeah, they're doing well. And I mean, the Packers, they never really do bad, right? Like they're one of those teams that does. They're a consistently good team. Everyone knows that the Packers are competitive. They're very much always competitive. I mean, at least I have been watching football, so I'm not someone that covers football. This is like me growing up just watching football on my own and being in a football house where my mom was a huge fan. My brother played football, so that's really all I knew. I was a competitive I did cheerleading, so I kind of see it objectively. So to me, it's so interesting to be able to see it at a closer, like under a microscope a little bit more than obviously something that I'm, how I am perceiving it.
Yes.
But you know, it's different. It's a different, everyone has a different, whether you're on the team, you're reporting, and which is nice, because I think the nice thing about Twitter that I've noticed with this community is that you're kind of getting the best of every world, minus maybe being in the locker room with the players, obviously. But I think it's really combining everyone's perspective. And I mean, in COVID, you mentioned this earlier, it's weird times. And I think that sports really unite people. So it's been nice that we actually were able to have a season that people are able to have a sports like community on Twitter. But more about football, more about football, right? So with the wide receivers on the team, I think the last time you were on the show and I was listening, we were trying to figure out who is that number two? Do you feel that they really found it in Valdez? Is it something that they've been waiting for Lazard to come back? Where is that from your perspective? Where do you feel like that's headed?
So I think Valdez-Scantling has been a little inconsistent this season. He's had some really strong games. Like this past weekend was his best game of the season by far, maybe one of the best of his careers. It was a career day for him. He had 4 catches for 149 yards and a touchdown, so the yardage was a career high for him. And he's had other strong games. Week 1 against the Vikings, he had almost 100 receiving yards and a touchdown. And then there's weeks like the week 7 against the Houston Texans, and he's targeted 4 times and he didn't catch the ball. So he's had some drops issues this, not even just the season, but in his career. And this is now his third year with the Packers, the second in this offense. And I think fans have been patiently waiting for things to click and for him to be the consistent number two. And in the meantime, Alan Lazard has surged up the power rankings in the wide receiving room, especially after last season where he kind of stepped up and was able to prove himself as an undrafted free agent after the Jaguars, I believe, let him go. So it's been a little bit slower for him now this season because he was on IR for so long. However, now he has an opportunity to come back and make a big contributions. I think Valdez-Scantling is slowly, it feels like he's moving in the right direction, especially after this past week. He showed that he is more than just kind of like a deep threat go route type of guy,
right,
you know, make
he's showing that little bit more line. Like he's been like, I don't want to use the, he's just been lighting up a little bit more, right? Like he's just, you see that spark, and but you always, you see it with him, he has these great games and then he'll kind of have games that you're like, okay, maybe not, but then he always, I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes between for the like wide receiver two spot.
Yeah, I think it seems like every week he is getting a little bit better. He's not just at being a deep threat. I think this past week he showed that he can run, you know, some more intermediate routes, which I don't know if he'd necessarily been able to show earlier in his career with the Packers. So I think there's some optimism there. And then Lazard coming back is a big boost for the Packers. They have weapons. They have Davante Adams. They have Aaron Jones is a great receiver too. So they have the talent. The offense is doing well. They just got to keep putting it all together.
You know, the coach is new too. Whenever you add that extra layer of something, everyone still has to get used to the changes. I can imagine that has to cause some disruption. And then you throw a pandemic in, you throw the injuries in, and it definitely has to disturb the flow of the game.
Yeah, this season is just wild how anyone can, I don't know, coach a football team in this.
I can't even imagine.
Especially the off season. I think that was probably the most challenging with OTAs and the beginning of training camp, all virtual, everything being done in like Zoom meetings, or, you know, we're talking like this, or coaches are trying to, you know, explain whatever they're doing.
They're like doing, I see whenever they have like the code, they put the protocol together and then I see they'll be meeting virtually. You're meeting virtually for football practice? Like, it's so crazy. And you wonder why we have all these injuries.
Right,
because we're missing out on the time that the body needs. These aren't normal people. These are people that are playing professional sports.
Right. On one hand, especially with like the elimination of preseason, it's good to get rid of those games because honestly, who wants to watch preseason anyway? And it's just, it's
right, added, exactly.
Especially for like veterans aren't playing during preseason mm-hmm. games, so it's just right. kind of whatever for them. They don't really care if they're there or not. However, no, the lack of preseason games, especially for the younger players that aren't proven, that's missed opportunities for them to show that they're capable of playing in the NFL or deserving of making the team mm-hmm. or even just right. kind of like getting right. back into football shape, right? Like, yeah. I don't know how many more soft tissue injuries we saw at the beginning of the season because of this.
It's so crazy.
It is a weird season. So everyone's just a weird
season. It's so hard to tell who it are. The rankings actually accurate? I don't know. It's so crazy. There's all these upsets. Like, I know, what was it last week that we had that there was upsets across the league and it keeps happening. It's so bizarre, but I think everyone's just disrupted. It's just kind of like the world we're living in now.
It is. And I don't think it makes it like the kind of the way that it was with the NBA season too. Like just mm-hmm. the nature of, and the NFL and the NBA are very in very different places. The NBA in a bubble, right. the NFL, they're trying to create bubble type environments, but they're not really, they're not bubbles. But in the NBA, those, the championships, it was still just, it's hard. The game is still challenging. There's still an element of challenge. Plus you have the players yeah. isolated from the rest of the world, which is another challenge too. So crazy. All of the challenges factor into the game and how it plays out this season. Yeah.
It's crazy. With so I know they were looking at Will Fuller for a little bit just to get, we'll stop talking about the pandemic for one minute, even though I want to continue.
It's hard not
that's
to.
All I talk about now. You go to get a coffee and the barista's talking about COVID. I was like, I just want to stop talking about COVID for a little bit.
I understand.
But with the trade, I know that they were looking at Will Fuller, but looking, so that didn't go through. Whatever happened. It was kind of a weird scenario. Not really sure exactly what the issue was, but with the draft, what do you think the biggest need is right now for them?
Oof, looking forward to next season. I think it's gonna depend on, I guess, what they want to do in free agency. So they've already been able to sign defensive lineman Kenny Clark, who is going to become a free agent in 2021. So they've got okay. him in the fold. They extended left tackle David Bakhtiari. If they did not do that, a tackle would certainly be up there. And then they also have yeah. running back Aaron Jones, running back Jamal Williams, cornerback Kevin King, and center Corey Linsley are just some of the names that mm-hmm. that become free agents in 2021. So first, if you're letting those players walk, okay, well, who replaces right. them? The Packers drafted a center this past draft, so if they decide to let Linsley walk, they have a draft pick as an option. And Jake Hansen, however, he's been injured this season. He's on practice squad. And then there's also, or they have other options at center. So it's feasible they could let Linsley Lee walk. They're not going to draft a center very high in the draft. I'm losing my what I want to get to here. But I think defensive line should still be up there for them. With Kenny Clark, even with Kenny Clark sticking around, the defensive line has just really struggled this season in stopping the run. I think they could use another playmaker up there. That would be a fair grab. And I guess wide receiver is still on the
right
on the table.
Definitely
a receiver. And then Aaron Jones. If they let Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams walk, then they're gonna have to draft another running back for sure. They've got AJ Dillon's they drafted him in the second round last season. So he's there and he's part of the reason.
They
drafted him because they were looking ahead to the fact mm-hmm. that they had two running backs becoming free agents in 2021.
So I had idea they had so many free agents coming up. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Those are some big names too. Oh, you know, like you always hear Aaron Rodgers, Jamal Williams, like that's those names fly through all the time.
Yeah. That's crazy. Think, if I had to guess, I think they'll try to extend Jones because he is such a big part of this offense, even with the trend, I suppose, in the league of not wanting to extend mm-hmm. running backs after a certain age because mm-hmm. of kind of how their production falls off. However, mm-hmm. I could see them extending Jones. I don't think they're going to extend Jamal Williams. I just think that he could go elsewhere and get more money somewhere else, that, unless for some reason he can't.
Right.
And Kevin King, yeah, I'm not sure at this point. I mean, he's missed 5 games this season. His health has been a huge issue in his career. Mm-hmm. He was only fully healthy for 1 season in his 4 years in the NFL, and that was last season. So if that is an issue for other teams, if he does decide to hit the market and test the waters, perhaps he would be willing to come back to the Packers on a discount. I don't know.
Crazy. It's going to keep on with this weird year. It's going to be a weird draft. It's going to be a weird everything. So wrapping up here, where can we find you on Twitter? What's your, do you have some cool stuff coming out? Where can we find your work?
Yeah. So I'm on Twitter at Reiner Olivia. It's my last name and then my first name. I tweet lots of Packers updates throughout the week over there. So if you're into that, you can definitely follow me over there. All my stuff is over on PackersNews.com, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, JS Online. You can find me doing a lot of video stuff. Usually I look, if you're watching the video, usually I'm like, I don't look quite like this, but we do a daily live show, just talking about practice, talking about news of the day, awesome. Previewing the upcoming game that Sunday. So I will be back live. Chatting with our reporters, getting ready for
Sunday. That's so cool. I'm so excited I got to chat with you. I hope I get to chat with you again soon.
Yes.
The Packers. We'll see how it goes. But so thank you so much for coming on. For everyone that's listening, this is my first show. So let me know how I did. Leave some reviews. We're actually going to be giving away a Eli Manning signed jersey. In order to qualify to get the jersey, you have to follow myself, and my handle is at Steffi Smalls with 3 L's. I have been trying to buy Steffi Smalls' handle, but she's not biting. I've been trying.
So, Olivia Reiner, same thing.
It's great. I'm like, please, I'll give you like a couple $100. I just want it. But yeah, so follow me at Steffi Smalls, 3 L's. At On Beat 19, at Sleepwire Show, and at Sleepwire HUS. If you leave a review, just take a screenshot and you're going to send it over to justin@sleepwire.com, and that'll get you qualified to win an Eli Manning jersey. I'll gladly take the jersey if no one else wants it, but definitely take everyone up on that. I also write, for those of you that are a Giants fan, I write for New York Giants Rush.com. I do the injury report. This has kind of been my tie-in into my medical field as I started getting into the injury report. I also have my first injury show with Join Our Circle after this. And we have some exciting things coming out. We'll see how the rest of the season goes.
Yes, we will.
Oh, thanks for coming. It was so nice to talk to you.
You're welcome. It was wonderful meeting you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. We'll talk soon. Thanks. Bye, guys.